Hello and welcome back to episode 20 of the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. We have a special episode today. As promised, we are going through our top 20 for the year, but this week, James couldn't join us. Instead, he wrote up his predictions for next year, his top 20. He kind of broke it down by position, so that's what we're going to do. And we are going to have his picks read out by a computer. It might be a complete disaster, but we're going to try it. And I'm going to argue with that computer and provide my picks against it. So we're going to start that right now. I'm going to let James introduce this segment.
Starting with the linebackers. Number one, the Polish Punisher, Paul Posluszny. By sheer volume of tackles, as provided by Pro Football Reference, no one beats Posluszny, and as we know, tackles are the best indicator of consistent performance. He got 115 solo tackles this year. He scored his first career touchdown this year. Things just keep looking up for Paul.
I really like that pick. I think Paul Posluszny has had a great year. We have every reason to think he'll have another great year next year on an improving team. But I was not willing to rank him quite that high. Paul Posluszny comes in at number 6 in my linebacker rankings. Number 1 is a player that did not make James's list, and that is Levante David, who's just been a machine this year for Tampa Bay on what is actually a really good defense. I think that Levante David will continue to have a good year next year, and, you know, he's basically the number 1 scorer right now in our format anyway, and I think he should continue to be so.
Number 2, Vontaze Burfict. Fan of the show favored and a perfect example of how to play football well. 156 total tackles on the season with one game left to go and a defense that will only be healthier next year. Consider him young star on the rise.
Vontaze Burfict comes in at number 3 for me, James. I think that he has had a really good year. We did have a listener write in during the preseason and say that that listener thought he was going to be the number 1 overall scorer, and he got pretty close, which is a really good call for a player who was like 16th to 20th among linebackers last year. I, as I said, have him number 3. I think he's a very comfortable top 5 player for linebacker position next year.
Number 3, Carlos Dansby. Sneaking onto this list as a personal favorite of mine, while the tackle numbers are not superhuman like some of the other contenders, Dansby might be the best coverage LB in the league today. 18 passes defended and 4 interceptions just lets you know that he's more than a mindless tackling machine. Dansby's got smarts and an ability to get into the QB's head. Look for more of the same in the coming year.
You act like being a mindless tackling machine is a really bad thing, but I would love to field a team of only mindless tackling machines. This is the first place where my ranks really differ dramatically from yours, James. I have Carlos Dansby as about my 9th linebacker. I just think that he's over 30. His production is going to keep falling off. Some of his good production this year came with Darrell Washington in the lineup, although not all of it. So it's not like he can't be productive with Darrell Washington around. But I do think that I'm not willing to risk a high pick on a player like Dansby, who I think has a good chance of falling off this year. Since I mentioned him, Darrell Washington comes in at number 4 in my linebacker rankings. I think that his mixture of tackles and sacks makes him a really attractive option at linebacker, and he's someone that didn't make your list.
Number 4, rookie number 1 Kiko Alonso. The tackles are there, 145. The athleticism is there. The youth is there. And the experience is just beginning. There is no reason to expect anything other than increased amazing from this Buffalo standout starter.
I completely agree with you on this one, James. In fact, I actually went as far as to put Kiko Alonso number 2 in my linebacker rankings. This may be the first time all year that I've liked Kiko Alonso better than you have. But yeah, I think that he's the real deal. He still gets lost a little bit on play sometimes, but he always manages to get back in there and get you the tackle. I'm not sure that he's like an elite level player in terms of skills at this point, but in terms of statistics and production for fantasy, he's about as good as it gets. So I do have him at number 2 for linebacker in my initial rankings for next year.
Number 5, rookie number 2 Alec Ogletree. The tackles aren't superhuman, 110, but the athleticism is there, and with the good and young defense around him that is bound to be supplemented in the upcoming exciting draft class, this St. Louis rookie should only see improvement in the coming year. Add to that his preternatural ability to find the football. We know that recovering fumbles can be kind of a crapshoot, but forcing them is a skill. A potentially game-changing one. And he forced 6 just this year.
I agree with you once again, James. Alec Ogletree comes in as my 6th linebacker just after Paul Posluszny for the year. I think that he should continue to look better in his second year in St. Louis. Since that's the end of your list, I'm just going to mention a couple other players who made my list. At number 7, I had Luke Kuechly, which made me a little nervous to put him that low when he just put up a 24-tackle week, and Kuechly has dependably been one of the best linebackers in the league all year, but I do have him at number 7 as well. So with that, let's move on to
THE Corners. Number 1, Alteron Verner. Enough said. He's the greatest. 22 passes defended, 5 and throw the ball at him. He dares you.
While you know that I love Alteron Verner, James, I could not put him number 1 on this list. Instead, I had to go with a player that you somehow did not even rank, your hometown star, D'Angelo Hall. Now, I know you're a little bit out on the Redskins at the moment, but D'Angelo Hall puts up elite tackle numbers from that cornerback position every single year because he doesn't cover very well, and I have no reason to think he won't do the same next year. So I do have Alteron Verner as my number 2, but I like D'Angelo Hall as my number 1 cornerback for next year.
Number 2, Richard Sherman. Does he use PEDs? Maybe. Is he exciting to watch? Absolutely. Should you throw the ball near him? Probably not. He may not knock the ball down every time, only 15 PEDs, but that's only because they keep getting stuck to his hands. 8 interceptions is nothing to laugh at. It may not necessarily be repeatable in the coming year, but when QBs look at the choices they have to throw against on that Seahawks secondary, well, let's just say I'm surprised we haven't seen someone just give up and drop the ball in the middle of a play.
I agree with you 100% on Sherman, James. I think that I would have him at number 3 for next year, really just have your list more or less at cornerback, but pushing down everyone by one to allow D'Angelo Hall to take that number 1 slot. I don't really think that he's likely to get 8 or more interceptions again next year, just because that's kind of a crazy thing that's happening. But even without the interceptions, he's a pretty reliable option at cornerback. So I think it's a pretty good pick for your number 2 slot, my number 3 slot overall at cornerback for next year.
Number 3. Joe Hayden. With 20 passes defended and 4 ints himself, his stat line is starting to look a lot like someone else we mentioned earlier. Oh yeah, and he'll just be starting his 4th season next. That should be fun.
This is another one where I'm going to have to disagree with you, James. I really don't think that you can depend on Joe Hayden on a week-to-week basis to produce the type of tackles that you need from a top 5 cornerback. I would have him probably closer to number 10. I do think he's one of the 5 best cornerbacks in the league, but not for fantasy purposes. I think cornerback gets pretty ugly after the first couple, after, in my opinion, the first 3. I reluctantly have your next pick in my slot here.
Number 4. Rookie CB of next year, no surprises here, it's Tyrann Mathieu. Hustle, athleticism, and instinct are all present in this brilliant rookie. And the tackle numbers are nuts for CB, 67. The only problem being he's destroyed his Aikland MCL and been placed on injured reserve. Now I'm not saying he's Adrian Peterson, but I'm just saying that Adrian Peterson can't be the only person capable of that kind of recovery, right?
Really glad you're sticking with that athleticism pronunciation. It's a pretty good one. I totally agree with you here. I think Matthew will be ready for week one of next year. I reluctantly have him in roughly this same slot as you do. Really, though, I think that speaks to how bad the other cornerbacks are, or at least how similar the cornerbacks are once you get past those top few players. When I do rankings overall, where I mix all the positions together, I'm going to have those top cornerbacks a lot higher than the next tier of players. James, what position are we going to do next?
The safeties. Number one, Barry Church. I can't speak very much because if I talk too highly of a cowboy, I think my vocal cords will commit suicide. Sixth in all of football, amongst all players, not just safeties, with tackles. That's all I can say.
I'll help you out by talking down Barry Church a little bit, James. I do have Barry Church in as my second best safety, which I also felt pretty bad about doing, but I do think that a lot of his success this year came from the fact that Sean Lee was out, and therefore there were a number of tackles that normally would have been taken up by Sean Lee that instead made it to the safety level. I expect that we will see at least some amount of regression from him, but similar to cornerbacks, I think there aren't a lot of differentiating factors among the safeties at the top here. My number one safety is someone that is not on your list, that is TJ Ward. It's just basically because among the top five scoring safeties from last year, I think that he's the best in terms of actually being skilled at football, whereas I think Barry Church and a few of the other players you're going to mention really benefited from their situations last year.
Number two, Earl Thomas. Does he benefit from being on the scariest secondary in all of football? Definitely. Should we fault him for that? Nope. 5 Ince says he knows when and where to be on the field. No reason to think that won't be the case next season.
I agree with you on this one. He is another one on the list of safeties who both have stats and who look like they're good players to me. I had him at number 3 in my rankings.
Number 3, Bernard Pollard. 93 tackles, 3 interceptions. You'd think he was making a statement to the Ravens for letting him go. With all the talk of the aging Baltimore defense from last season, Pollard has made a serious case for still having plenty left in the tank. And with no real help in Tennessee, he'll probably have to get angrier.
My dislike of Bernard Pollard is pretty well documented on this show. Needless to say, he did not make my list. The next player I had was another reluctant pick of Antrell Roll, who just has been putting up a lot of stats on a Giants team, though he has sort of the same thing going on as Barry Church, where the linebacking core has been so bad that he gets more tackles than he naturally should. Now, the difference is that, unlike the Cowboys, the Giants won't be getting Sean Lee back, and therefore I expect that the tackles will continue to come through to the secondary on that team.
Nightmare 4, rookie shout out with another injury. Kenny Vaccaro had a brilliant rookie season in, arguably, the most confusing defensive scheme in all of football, with unequivocally good numbers, 77 TKLS, 7 PD, 1 INT, 1 FF. As a player who played maybe 2-3 of snaps, it's hard to see this young star going anywhere but up, assuming this surgery can fix his ankle.
Between the ankle injury and him only playing 2 out of every 3 snaps, it's hard for me to put him in the top 5 among safeties. I wound up putting Eric Berry into this spot because I think Eric Berry is a really talented player on a good defense. The fact that he's been able to put up great stats this year at the safety position with good linebackers in front of him make me believe that he will continue to do so next year, and that if something were to go wrong with the linebacking core in Kansas City, which may already be happening, that he would do even better. So I like Eric Berry in this slot. I still like Kenny Vaccaro, but the workload is a concern, and at least since it just happened right now, we don't know how it's progressing. The ankle injury is a concern for me as well. James, 2 positions left. Which one would you like to do first?
The DNs. Number 1, Robert Quinn. 18 sacks. 18. 1. 8. Add to that 7 forced fumbles and you have yourself a very dangerous person to allow near the football. His fourth NFL season should be very interesting.
I love Robert Quinn. I did have him at number two. I switched the number one and number two picks, but it should be interesting to see how he continues to progress on a team that really should be better next year than it is this year. The Rams situation is interesting in general because they're going to have a very high draft pick coming in from Washington. They could potentially take Clowney, but they're like the only team that doesn't need him because Quinn and Long are so good. So that'll be an interesting situation to monitor there, but I do think he will be one of the top defensive ends next year. I have him at two in my rankings.
Number two, J.J. Watt. While we didn't see the terrific performance that we got out of Watt last year, 9.5 sacks with 71 tackles is nothing to laugh at. Unless watching QBs get destroyed makes you laugh, then you were probably laughing quite a bit. This young star has shown us he's got the staying power, and if the Texans can get themselves sorted, which, let's face it, they can't get worse, right? Right. He should have a long and productive career.
As I said before, I had my number one and two the same as yours, but flipped. I am not willing to move J.J. Watt out of that top slot. I think that as the Texans improve next year, which pretty much is inevitable, as you said, I think that he's going to do better last year than he did this year. He's going to maybe get back up to maybe not as crazy a year as he had 2 years ago, but I do think that he'll have a better year than he did this year next year, and that that can pretty much lead him to being the number one defensive end. I mean, in a year that we all think was bad, he wound up as number two defensive end, at least when we're talking now. So that's pretty good. I think he's safer than Quinn, marginally safer than Quinn. So I like J.J. Watt as number one in my rankings.
Number 3, Carlos Dunlap. 7.5 sacks and 4 forced fumbles. Not a quintessential performance from the Cincinnati DE, but not something to be discounted either. On a defense that should stay good and get healthier in the offseason, there's reason to expect continued good things from him.
I don't think any of the defensive ends outside of the top two really have given up a quintessential performance, as you sort of kind of said there. I do like Carlos Dunlap quite a bit, but I don't think that I put him quite that high just because I'm not exactly sure what's going on with the defensive line in Cincinnati. Now, we may know a little bit more about that and about Geno Atkins' health and things like that by the time the season rolls around, but for now anyway, my third slot is occupied by Calais Campbell, who has had a really good end to the year and just looks like he is playing extremely well on a defense that looks very good to me. So I have Calais Campbell in that slot.
Number 4, Lamar Houston. Above average stats on a team that is paying 1/3 of its salary cap space to players who aren't even on the team anymore should sound like a miracle. And it does. Okay, Lance's defense is a total shambles, and from that mess Houston still manages to produce better than average numbers, with more direction and some serious decisions which we can expect to be made in the offseason. The working conditions can only improve Houston, which should mean that he's going to be pretty exciting to watch next year.
I love Lamar Houston. I have him on my fantasy team, but I'm not willing to put him quite this high. And this slot for my rankings, I have Chandler Jones, who's been playing very well on a depleted New England defense where teams basically know that he's the best player left standing, and he's still been putting up numbers every single week. I think there's going to be a really good year from Chandler Jones next year, so I like him as my fourth defensive end.
And lastly, the D tackles. Number one, no surprise, it's Muhammad Wilkerson. He's great. If you don't believe me, then you don't watch football, but thank you for listening to our podcast anyway. We appreciate you.
We certainly do appreciate our non-football watching listeners, and we encourage you to go out and look up some Muhammad Wilkerson highlights. Muhammad Wilkerson is also my number one defensive tackle. I will say that unlike last year where we had Wilkerson and Geno Atkins way above other players in the overall rankings, I suspect they'll be a little bit closer this year because the difference between Wilkerson and the next few players was not quite as high. But James, I think we both agree that Wilkerson should be the no-brainer number one defensive tackle next year.
Number two, Kyle Williams. The proof is in the stat line, which is incredibly hard to distinguish from Wilkerson's. Buffalo is going to be a team to contend with soon, and Kyle Williams is going to be a noticeable part of the reason why.
Kyle Williams is a player who makes me a little bit nervous because there are so many good players on that defensive line. I instead went with Jurrell Casey here, who I think looks really, really good. As long as they can stop dropping him into coverage, which he shouldn't be doing, I think that Jurrell Casey has a pretty good case for number two on defensive tackles.
Number three, rookie shout-out, the last of the season, Sheldon Richardson. It might seem strange to be able to claim that two players at the same position are eligible for this list, but the stats just say otherwise. Both Richardson and Wilkerson are seriously effective parts of this defense. And with 76 tackles at the tackle position, Richardson has shown that he knows how to get to the ball carrier, wherever he may be.
We're kind of back onto my list here. I had Kyle Williams and Richardson in that order as you did. I just had stuck Jurrell Casey up above them. I agree that Richardson should have another good year next year.
Well, that's it for my top 20 to watch next year. When we start our preseason podcasts for next season, we'll just how many of these I've completely forgotten about or changed my mind on. Until then, listeners, stay low.